God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and this message on infiltrated worldliness. Yes, today we wrap up what Dr. Don began yesterday about infiltrated worldliness and what we see in the book of Revelation chapter 2, especially three things about Pergamum. It was the center of education, the center of God worship, and the people were caught up in emperor worship. And as we see that trend, the question is what we see looking ahead in the book of Revelation. What do we see around us that might be similar? Dr. Wilton will continue with that study in just a moment, but you just need to know we're here for you. As we study the Word of God, we'd love to connect with you, pray with you. You can call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org. And now, today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
So it was that gradually and over time the church married the politics of their day. And in a final analysis, worldliness became synonymous with the church. And eventually at Pergamum, you couldn't tell the difference between the outside and the inside. And the people who were part of the New Testament church, who claimed to be changed, there was no visible evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, and there was no tangible, concrete evidence of a changed life, and they were unable to differentiate between living as a believer in a rapidly changing world in a distinctive manner, but not a separated lifestyle. For Jesus called us to be in the world, but not of the world. And He demanded of us that we be distinctive as believers, not separate. Otherwise, how shall we win this world to Christ? And so it is the church at Pergamum, where eventually worldliness became synonymous with the church. And there was no difference. And any member of their church could be a member of their church, and it wouldn't matter whether they were in the church or out the church. There was no difference in the way they lived, the way they conducted themselves, the way they talked, where they went, whom they associated with, what they ate, what they drank. How shall we then live? If in fact Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. So what did Jesus say? How did Jesus react to this? Well, he did a number of things, and it helps us to understand what he was trying to show us. First of all, he proclaimed. That's what verse 12 is all about in this great passage. It's a powerful passage. He proclaimed. He proclaimed. The Bible says that these were the words of the one who had the sharp two-edged sword. And what he was saying here was very literal. He was proclaiming in the midst of all this worldliness his potency and his power. He described it back there in chapter 1 and verse 16 in the book of Hebrews, where when we first read and see this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are seeing the one who has the sharp two-edged sword, the word of his mouth. Here we see him in chapter 2 and verse 12 as he moves among the church with a sharp two-edged sword. And when we get to chapter 19 and verse 15, where Jesus comes back the second time at the end of the tribulation, and he lands on this earth, he lands on the Mount of Olives with all believers, and he marches down the Mount of Olives right past the Garden of Gethsemane, and he moves up onto the Temple Mount, and he reclaims the temple with no need to build a temple because he is the temple. And when he takes all believers and marches across to the battlefields of Armageddon, the Bible says in chapter 19 that he will defeat the enemies of God with the word of his mouth. writing to the church, the Hebrews, that great passage, the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and of marrows, discerning the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him who must give an account. What's going on in America today? What are we really looking at? Do you know, just 15 years ago, 20 years ago, we didn't have all these things. You know, when I did my PhD, I love to remind young students today, because they just Google PhDs. If you want to know something today, you just go and look at it. Of course, I know I'm ancient, but when I wrote my PhD 30-odd years ago, I had to write it longhand. And I had to go and hire someone to type it out for me. Some of you looking at me say, no way. No, I did. I did. I really did. And I had to pay her to be able to read what I'd written out longhand. Then I had to put all my notes in a box. And I had in the back seat of my car, and I had to drive it and make sure that I never got out of the car because someone might steal the box with all my notes in it and all my footnotes. Some of you are identifying with me, don't you? Today, it's all like this. Just everything's right there. Times have changed. How did Jesus react to this worldliness? He proclaimed Himself. He said, don't you forget something. I'm watching, I'm listening, I'm discerning, I'm deciphering. He not only proclaimed, but He knew. Verse 13 said, this is how He responded to their worldliness. He knew. Verse 13, He said, look, I know that you live where Satan lives, but I know that there are so many of you that have been faithful, like we discovered. In fact, He even invokes the name of Antipas. And if you go back and research Antipas was one of those incredible faithful followers who refused to bow down and worship the Emperor Domitian. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. Because thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You know what they did to Antipas? They built a brass bull made of brass. And they put Antipas inside this brass bull. It was symbolic of their deity and their worship of pagan gods. Then they lit a fire under the brass bull and they slowly roasted him to death. Jesus looked at the worldliness of the church and He proclaimed His power. Said, don't forget, I'm exactly who I say I am. And he knew exactly what was going on. He could see those people that were out there in the community giving backpacks to beautiful children and serving others and being faithful and giving and being faithful in their tithes and their offerings and being distinctive, although not separate. Yep, he knew. But He also affirmed, verse 13 says, He affirmed their faithfulness. And I love that. He affirmed them, and fourth, He then condemned them. He said, look, I'm going to tell you that I'm so proud of you, and I thank you for those who are not worldly and who are standing and struggling. This world is so difficult. How do we teach our children to be in this world but not of this world? Moms and dads, what do we say to our children today? How do you have a line of division? How do you separate out all the junk on television from the good things? How do you control this and teach them and help them? That's what we're trying to do. That's what we do here at the church. We're getting alongside. I'm so proud of our parents. Our students, man, I'm so proud of so many of our seniors this year. They're going back to school, and we've got some of the finest seniors in high school you'll find anywhere. Our young people in our incredible youth ministry. Our students at Merge. I'm telling you, we've got college students who are the salt of the earth, folks. Even though not separate, they are living distinctive lives. They understand what the line is. And these people are just rich. They have as much fun as anybody. I mean, they can get down with the best of them. But there is a line. There is a line. Somebody asked me one time why I don't drink alcohol. Want me to tell you why I personally don't drink alcohol? Because you're all watching me. That's good enough for me right there. You want me to tell you what I see alcohol doing? Breaking up families, causing people to behave badly, killing innocent people on our highways, destroying lives left and right and right and left. And some of you might look at me and say, well, Pastor, is it because you're the... No, is it because... No. The reason I don't do it, because you're watching me. And the reason I don't do it is because there's some kid out there who's watching me. I don't want some kid to look out and say, well, if Dr. Wilton does it, then maybe I'll just do it. Well, what happens if that kid becomes an alcoholic because of me? I don't want that to happen. I don't want him to become a wife beater and abuser. I don't want him to go to college and rape some girl and then go to court and have all the different excuses and palaver for this kind of heinous behavior that's going on our campus. I don't want that. I don't want that. And I don't need that in my life. And that's what Jesus is saying. Just take a look at the church. Well, he proclaimed and he knew and he affirmed, he condemned. What did he condemn? Well, he condemned their behavior. Spoke about Balaam, Old Testament prophet. You can read about him in Numbers 22 through 25. Unable to curse the Israelites at Balak's request. So what he does is he brings in other people. He tries to corrupt the very people who have got standards by infiltrating the foreign element from outside so that the infiltration of ideas, the frog in the kettle, would gradually cause them to change their mind. That's why in America we've become a nation of baby killers. That's why in America we all throw up our arms in abject horror. And I do too, because Cecil the lion got shot by a dentist who should be strung up, courted, and killed. But the very same people who are out there on the streets so bitterly disappointed as I am about the death of a lion in Africa say not one word about the slaughter of millions of babies right here in the United States of America.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and we'll be back with the conclusion of this special message, Infiltrated Worldliness, in just a few moments. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you, we're here. We're not here just to present to you the messages from Dr. Wilton, but we're here as encouragers. It's a core of who we are. It's why we're called the Encouraging Word. And one of the ways we can encourage you is on a daily basis with an email from Dr. Wilton. Matter of fact, it jumpstarts my quiet time every morning with a simple email. It takes maybe 2-3 minutes to read and then spend some time marinating on God's Word. It really will give you a great opportunity. And maybe if you're not already involved in spending some time on a daily basis with God, it'll give you that fresh first step. You can call for your copy, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. That's in case you're interested in a little booklet that holds 3 months worth. It's free for the asking. You're ready to call for that. Or you can sign up online right now and get your copy emailed to you by this time tomorrow just by signing up at theencouragingword.org. Remember, the shortcut is easy to get there at tewonline.org as well. just know that we would love to connect you with this daily encouraging word Bible guide and watch it change your life. And they're reminding me you can also text to get a copy of the daily encouraging word to your email box. Just text the word daily to 30500. That's one word, daily, texted to 30500. We'll send you a quick link, and in moments you'll be signed up and ready. And this time tomorrow, you'll launch your day in God's encouraging word with Dr. Don Wilton. Speaking of Dr. Don, let's get back to today's message, Infiltrated Worldliness with Dr. Don Wilton.
Do we really see a picture of ourselves? That's what Jesus is saying. And God's word is replete with condemnation and commendation. I'm just so happy that in the midst of all of this worldliness, Jesus keeps saying, but I see you, I commend you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for standing up. Thank you for being the salt of the earth. Thank you for being in the world but not of the world. Thank you for being willing to admit that you are who you are only by the grace of God, that you're not perfect, that you're all sinners. I challenge anybody in this congregation to get up and point a finger at anybody, as you'll have three big fat ones pointing straight back at yourself. Where would we be without the Lord? What an incredible thing to be part of a family like this. So he demanded, number five, that they repent. I mean, that verse 16, he just demanded. By the way, it's a demand. I thought to myself, I've got to put this in some kind of really polite terminology. I don't think Jesus did. He said, repent. That's the only solution. I strongly urge you and me today that we repent. Just get on our faces. Just say, Lord, we have sinned against you. I've sinned against you. I've done wrong in your sight. Please forgive me. That's what he requires of us. And then he waited. I love verse 17. It's so full of promises. He said, listen, I'm watching you, all this worldliness going on. I'm about to come back. If he lived in the deep south, he'd say, I'm fixing to come back. See, I can say that too. Jesus is coming in the clouds. And he accompanied with these two incredible promises. He said, in fact, I tell you what, I love you so much. Here's what I'm going to do. I've got a double-edged promise. I'm going to give you white manna, hidden manna. The hidden manna, there's a lot of things that go on about that, but hidden manna goes all the way back into Exodus chapter 16. You'll remember when God gave the manna to feed the Israelites when they had no food. And then to commemorate that in Exodus chapter 16, they had to take a little bit of manna and put it in a jar, and it was kept in the ark. They carried a little manna in the ark of the covenant everywhere they went as a constant reminder that Jesus is the bread of life. Everywhere they went. That's the hidden manna. Nobody else, after the manna came from him, could actually see it because it was hidden in the ark. But everywhere they went, they carried around God, Jesus, the bread of life. And the hidden manna symbolizes all the blessings and benefits of knowing Christ. It's an incredible picture. He said, not only will I wait, when I come, I'm going to give you the hidden manna, but I'm going to give you a white stone. Of course, there's all kinds of theorizing about the white stone. Personally, I'm just giving you, I think it is associated with the Urim and the Thummim on the breastplate of the high priest back in the time of Israel. And what happened, the high priest wore this white stone on his symbols that he was wearing, particularly the Urim and the Thummim, and it symbolized the fact that the high priest was in direct communion with God, and God in turn would give them the direction in which they should go. I've even read some people said, no, this white stone is associated with a diamond. It's very precious. God's going to give us the most precious thing in the world. The fact of the matter is this, that on this white stone, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And here he's saying, look, with all of this going, I want you to, you want to know if I'm coming again? Consider the worldliness of the church. And don't forget who I am. I'm waiting to come. And in the midst of all of this, he proclaimed and he knew and he affirmed and he condemned and he demanded and he waited. And he's waiting today for you and for me. And you know, isn't this incredible that he would love us like he does? Just think how much God loves us despite ourselves. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how much you and I let him down? All the things we get into, the sin, the mistakes, the errors, the self-righteousness, all the things you and I suffer from all the time. And yet God is so long-suffering and he loves us so much. Do you know him as your Savior and Lord? Have you given your life to Christ? Giving your life to Christ is not based on you, it's based on him. It's all about God. Would you bow your heads with me for just a minute? Lord Jesus, even now at this moment, there are people standing on the edge of eternity. Lord, you're calling upon people to be saved. Your Spirit is knocking at their heart's door. I pray they would open their heart's door and invite you to come in, and you will do that. I pray, Lord, that people would be saved today. I pray, Lord, for those of us who know you, that we would be recommitted in our lives to love you more and to serve you more, that we would be willing to examine our own lives before you. Thank you, Lord, for the church of the living God. Thank you for this church. There's so many wonderful churches all across this area in which the Lord Jesus being high and lifted up, filled with faithful servants who even stand on you, even when the antipassers of their world are executed for their faithfulness to you. Lord Jesus, we are yours. We need you desperately. We're waiting for you to come. We ask that you'd fill our lives with your presence and with your power. We know, Lord, that you are sharp because you are the Word and you pierce our hearts. Thank you. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for loving us. Now, Lord, people are going to come. They're going to come down. They're going to come. Some are going to come just to pray, and some are going to come to say, I want to give my life to Christ. And some are going to come saying, I want to commit my life. I want to rededicate my life. Some are going to come to put their roots down, become part of a Bible-believing church. By whatever manner, Lord, everything we do, even in this church, is only because of you and to you, because you are the head of the church. This is your church, and we are your people. We are your servants. In Jesus' name, we pray together. Amen.
Indeed, it is all about God. Are you ready to give your heart to Christ? Do you have questions? Would you like to have someone pray with you? Here's our phone number, 866-899-9673. Our pastor's coming back in just a moment, but I want you to jot this number down, store it in your cell, and know we would love to be one of your 2 a.m. friends, as Dr. Don would say. We're ready to pray with you anytime, day or night, at 866-899-9673. And as I mentioned, Dr. Don has a final thought that he wants you to hear right now.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
If the Lord's spoken to you, give us a call. Let us put some free resources in your hands. If you've given your heart to Christ, Dr. Don has prepared a wonderful packet for you. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. 1-800-899-9673 or meet us online at tewonline.org. A great place to discover more about this wonderful thing called the Heart of Worship.
I'm going to ask a penetrating question right now. What happens when you die? Where exactly do you and I go? You know, over my many years of ministry, and from so many of you, I get so many questions about life after death. All of us, people like you and me, are fascinated with the subject of life after death. That's why God led me to write the novel, The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death. This novel that I wrote was birthed out of my own personal, I think, near-death experience, and it just flowed from my heart. It's the story about two men in a real world. One died and the other man died. One went to heaven, the other man did not. And it's based on what Jesus teaches us in His Word. This book will change your view of heaven, and it will help you to understand the significance of what it means to be with Christ or to live separated from Him forever. I want you to have a copy. Call the number on your screen and request your own personal copy of my novel, The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported broadcast ministry, and your financial support helps us to reach just one more for Christ. And this book has been used to change lives all across America. Call and get your copy now.
The number Dr. Don's referring to is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Whether it's to get a hold of that copy of Heart of Worship, or perhaps it's just to get a hold of one of us ready to pray with you, we stand ready to connect right now and 24 hours a day at 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org.
You know, I want to say something to you personally. You ready for this? Thank you. It's a powerful word, isn't it? Small one, powerful. I want to thank you. You see, the sun hardly rises or sets in a day that we don't see people coming to know Christ through this broadcast ministry every day. And you make that possible through your prayers, most of all, and through your financial giving. God is doing something great. And in our world today, this medium of television, very important, folks. This is very, very important. God is allowing us to go into more and more homes across the United States of America. Thank you for helping us make this possible. And let's never stop praying that people would come to know Jesus. God bless you.
Through the Encouraging Word, I have been drawn closer to Jesus. Every morning I read my devotional. I used to be a Sunday Christian. I only read my Bible on Sunday, but through the ministry of the Encouraging Word, it has encouraged me to read my Bible and pray more. I love the Lord and I know He is with me. I love the Encouraging Word. I watch every Sunday. When you take communion, I take it too. Thank you, Dr. Don.